Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Ayin Teret Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and then in discussing Shmuel's Shita, we tried to explain the braisa that we brought being authored by Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and the last question of the Gemara is that, how could Rav Shimon ben Elazar be the author of a Mishnah, which is we have an explicit statement from Rav Shimon ben Elazar that says that a person who is socheret ha-chamor d'kova le'aviv riko nishtetetar chayiv lomo ha-chamor, that a person has to replace if the chamor somehow is degraded in its ability to carry out its utility or its services that it's providing, then we have to give a new chamor. But we just tried to explain the braisa going, Rav Shimon Elazar says that you don't have to do that. So we had a statement to answer that stira was Amar Rav Huna the Kovel HaShaini, that riding is different than carrying a masui or taking merchandise on the donkey. And that is because when you're riding on it, you have an expectation that the donkey has the ability to move and see where it's going. Whereas with the masui, the owner of the donkey can say to you, listen, if he goes off the derech a little bit, if he can't see as well, then you just push him back on the derech. You don't need him to see so carefully. You just need him to move along the way, and you can direct him along the way. On the other hand, our papa says that kli zuchuchit, when it comes to glass or fragile items, they're similar to being riding on it. That's because in those cases, you can't afford for the donkey to bump up against something or roll off the move off the path a little bit, because when it's a fragile item, any knocking around or any imbalance will cause the item to break. So that'll be similar to riding on the donkey itself, as opposed to a masui again, where you can have the donkey wander off a little bit and we can say to you, please, you know, bring the donkey back onto the derech. If it doesn't see so well, if it doesn't act so well, you'll direct it. But in a case where you're riding on it, or a case where you have fragile items on it, there's an expectation that the donkey, in order to perform its services or to perform what it's been rented for, it needs to be able to see where it's going or act appropriately. Gemara continues with another statement in my Abba Rav Huna in the name of Rav, but it's somewhat related to our Gemara. So, Cheret HaChamor DeKovela, someone who rents out a donkey in order to ride it, Umeitelo B'chatzia Derech, and the donkey dies halfway. Doesn't make it through the whole journey, and he dies halfway. Noten Lo Scharo, he has to pay him for what he used, Shel Chatzia Derech, for the first half of the ride. Mein Lo Alav Delo Taromet, he only has complaints to this individual about the fact that he lost the donkey halfway. Gemara says, "Hey Chidomi, what is the case here that he only has to he pays for half of the ride and then he's up a creek for the other half of the ride? What's the case? Either Shiochla Gure, if there are other donkeys where the donkey died, then there are other donkeys that he can rent and continue on the way. Taromet Mayavite, what type of complaints does he have over here? He can hire another donkey." Meaning that it's the same price. Whatever price that he was paying to get to this point, he can just hire another donkey and move on with the rest of his trip. So he can't. What complaints does he have? He's getting there the same way, paying the same price. He shouldn't have any complaints. Vi delo shchiach legure. It's a place where he can't find a equivalent rental and he has to pay more. Agra by the meitivle. Then the person who he's hiring the donkey for should have to compensate him or make up the differential. Here he's supposed to get him to the location. He hired him for services until a certain location. If he's not providing them, he has to replace them. If he has to replace them at a higher price, that will come out of his original compensation for the first half of the derech. So Gemara says, well, it's a place where it's not normal to find easily a new rental. Because the owner can say to him, ilu bayit lemeitei ad hacha, how did you get here? I mean, you had to get to this point anyway. Lav agra bayit lemeitav, wouldn't you have to pay somebody to get you to this location? So ein hachanami, that is going to cost you more for the residual of the ride. But nevertheless, I got you to this location, which you would have had to compensate somebody for. So why not compensate me and pay me properly? Pay me my full amount. You have to pay more for the rest of the way? Okay, but at least you got here at the cheaper price. Where it says, hey, chidami, wait, that doesn't work necessarily. Idar malei chamor stam. If the individual had promised him to give him a chamor until the destination, then ha-chayev le-modo chamor acher, then he has to replace the chamor. I mean, irrespective of what the pricing is or what the situation is, he can't just say, you know, we're done, our business is over. He had committed to give him a chamor to get to a certain destination. Halfway, the chamor dies, you got to replace the chamor to get him to his final destination. I mean, that the other person also has a claim that if I had hired it back home, I could have had hired it at the cheap price the whole way. Now that I'm conking out halfway, the donkey died halfway, now I'm going to have to pay someone more to get the rest of the way. So you have to provide me the donkey. You have to provide me with whatever you had promised me to get to my destination. If he says that I hired you this chamor in particular, not just that I'm hiring any chamor, but this particular chamor, then in that case, then once the chamor dies, right, then he has no claim against him because he said chamor zeh. So Gemara says, well, wait a minute. When it says chamor zeh, it's not just the chamor itself, but it's any value created by the chamor. Now, the dead chamor is not worthless. You could sell it for its meat. You could sell it for its nevela. You could sell it for its skins. So that value can be used in order to replace the donkey that is no longer available to him. Im yesh tamer likach. So if there's enough money, residual money from the dead carcass here to sell it and buy a new donkey, let him do that, and then he'll continue on his way with the donkey. It's a case where there's not enough residual money to purchase a new donkey with. Mar says, so fine, there's not enough money to buy a new donkey, but if there's enough money for him to rent an additional donkey to finish up his trip, let him do that. This donkey was meshubad, was given over to him to use in this instance, and since it was given to him to use, even when it's dead and it can be sold for cash or that money is now available to him to finish off the services that he had contracted for. Where it says, Rav Letamei, Damrav, Lo Mechalin, and Karno. It says, Rav Leshitato. Rav Leshitato is that we don't allow you to spend the money of the Bala Chamor when there'll be nothing left over. There'll be no residual, there'll no principal left for the original owner. In this case, if you take those monies from the Chamor and then use them for rental, what will end up happening is that there'll be nothing, no principal left for the original owner. And based on that, we'll explain in the statement above of Amar Bavuna Marav, in a case where he hired the donkey and said, Chamor zeh, the chamor dies, there's not enough value in the chamor to purchase a new chamor, but there is enough value too, so cher to rent. In that case, Rav says you're not allowed to rent with it. So therefore, he has to pay him for the first half of the derech, because he provided him the service, he said Chamor zeh, you have to pay for it. The second half, taromet, he can complain to him, hey, you got a bad donkey, it died, it was an ones, whatever happened, he doesn't have to replace it, because their agreement was about Chamor zeh, this chamor. That's what the statement of Rav referred to. Now the Gemara explains this machlokas about Kal Yakarna, whether you're allowed to use out the principle between Rav and Shmuel. Ditmar socher to chamor, someone who rents out a chamor, meitolo b'chatzia derech, dies halfway. This dead chamor, right? If he has the ability to take the monies and purchase a new chamor with it, then he can do that. The score, I'll use score, but to rent, to finish up the trip, that he may not do, because then there'll be no principal left for the original owner. Shmuel Amar, af the score, you score. Shmuel says, no, you can even rent. So obviously, there's a case where he says, chamor zeh. In a case where he says, chamor zeh, and the animal dies, can he use the monies then to replace the chamor? So, both agree, Shmuel and Rav and Shmuel both agree that in a case where you can replace it and buy a new chamor, that's what you do. But in a case where you could only rent out a chamor, then Rav says no, because you're using up the principal of the original owner, and you'll return nothing to the Baal Chamor. And Shmuel says, go ahead. So, what are they arguing about? Rav Savar lo machlin an karno. We don't allow you to eat up all the principal of the original owner. Shmuel Mar Savar machlin an karno. We allow you to do this. So we have a problem from a brisa. Yavesha ilano niktzat. So here you have a tree that was a mashkon, was given over as collateral to a person. And like a mashkanta dusura, this case is a mashkanta dusura where it's permitted, and the malveh, the creditor, is eating the fruits or the output of this tree, and at the end of the term, the tree will go back to the original owner without any payment. So that's a mashkanta dusura, which we saw above was not a problem of repeat. So in that instance, he's eating the fruit, but then all of a sudden the ilan dies. It dries up, it doesn't give fruit anymore, it was cut down. So noshneim asurimbo, they both can't use it, they both can't touch it. Why? Because if the debtor comes and takes the tree or takes the wood, then it belongs to the malveh right now. It's the creditor's right now, and here the loveh is taking it. On the other hand, if the malveh takes it, if the creditor takes it over here and takes the mashkon, then nothing will be returned to the loveh. So he's also in violation of the mashkon agreement. So ketzad, what should they do? Yaseh, yilakach bo karka. They'll purchase land with the value of the wood or the dried up tree, whatever it is, and they'll purchase land with it. V'ochel perot. So they will simulate the mashkon here. They will take the money or the residual value that's in this tree. They'll purchase karka with it. They'll purchase land. And then the malveh, the creditor, will eat the output of the land. So they've simulated the mashkon. There's a principle, and then he gets the output or the leasehold on that land. So that will solve our problems. So Gemara says, okay, that solves the problem for the Braisa, but does that really solve the problem for Rav? This is a problem for Rav. Why? Wait a minute. When you purchase land, you don't get to keep the land forever. The land at the end, and when it reaches the Yovel, will go back to its owner. If the land that you purchase now to be principal for the loveh and to be output and peirot for the malveh, when it comes to the yovel, the loveh will get nothing. It'll go back to the original owner and the loveh gets zero. So, but kal yakarno. So that's equivalent of kal yakarno. And how could Rav explain this brisa? So if this brisa is saying it's okay to buy something that will be eaten up in the end, meaning that the loveh will have no residual value in this land. Gemara says, Achamai skina, the zaman le the shitin shnin. He bought it for 60 years. So what does that mean? He bought it for 60 years. Why does that help you? How do you know that if someone sells his land for 60 years, that it does not go back in the Yovel? I mean, that the Yovel does not affect it, and it doesn't go back to his original owners. You're not allowed to sell the land forever. When is it that the Yovel affects a land? It affects a land that when the Yovel is the only thing that makes it into a non-permanent sale. So in a case where it's Ein Sham Yovel, had there been no Yovel, Nitzmet, it would have been sold forever. Yesh Sham Yovel, on the other hand, if there's a Yovel in a Nitzmet, it's not sold forever, then those are affected by the Yovel. Yatz Tazu, excluded from that is this case where you sell for 60 years. Shavapich Ein Sham Yovel, in a Nitzmet. Even though there's no Yovel, the sale is not permanent. And since the sale is not permanent, it's not affected by the Yovel because the Yovel only corrects for permanent sales. But if this is not a permanent sale, then the Yovel does not need to correct for it and it won't be affected by the Yovel. Where I says, well, nice. That's a nice solution, but all you've done is deferred the problem. Why? So if l'chimatu shitin shnein kahadra ar lamara. At the end of the 60 years, what ends up happening? It goes back to the original owner. So again, the loveh is out his principal. So how does Rav explain this? Where I says, v'kakal yikarno, and that's against Rav's position that you're not allowed to buy or purchase something that will cause the loveh or the person who's providing services, the original owner, to lose out over here. So whether it's by the donkey. Right, we don't allow you to use it for rental because the owner of the donkey will get nothing back. And here by the tree, we don't allow you to purchase land with it because in the end, the loveh, the debtor who owned the tree originally, will get nothing back because it will revert back either at the yovel or if you sell it for 60 years, at the end of the 60-year period to the original owner. It's a time when there was no yovel. It's bizman hazeh when there is no yovel, and therefore it will never come back. When we buy the karka will be the tzmitut, will be forever with the debtor. Where it says hachanam yistaver, that makes a lot of sense. The isakadat kozman shu yovel noeg. If you think it's at a time when there was a yovel and you allow kal yakarno, you allow the principal to be eaten up because we're buying land that will be taken away from the debtor at this point. Machlin and karno, then I have a simpler solution for you. Natzliche letzivei v'nishkele. Let the malved, let the creditor come here, chop up the wood, sell it, and take the monies. Meaning if we're permitting you to eat up the principal, then why not do the simplest thing and just sell the wood and eat up the principal right away? Why do this fancy agreement here where you take the wood, sell it, buy land with it, and then the malveh eats the land from the fruits, but the land in the end is going away from the loveh. So why not just up front take it away from the loveh? Where it says, Zim shum halo kasha. That's not a question. Why? Zim din deshamu shnei mashkanta mikame yovel. First of all, when it comes to mashkanta dusura, when there was a fixed duration to the mashkon, that means that the mashkon might expire before the yovel, and the loveh will actually get benefit from the land prior to the yovel. Or the seller of the land might come up with the money. If he comes up with the money, he might actually buy back the land, repurchase. He's allowed to redeem his land for the yovel. And then the loveh, the debtor here, or the owner of the tree, will actually get cash back. So he'll actually be left with some residual keren. And like we saw above by Rav and Shmuel, even Shmuel agrees that if you have the option to buy something that will give him keren, that will give him something left over, we prefer that than to just spending the money on the schira, on the rental, and have him getting nothing. So also over here, even though we might have permitted Kal Yakarna, even though we might have permitted you eating up the principal, nevertheless, we're ma'adif. We give priority to the fact that we give you something that might not for certain eat up the principal. And what's that? That's a case where you buy land, because there's a possibility, number one, that Lovel will get back onto the land before the Yovel. And number two, is a possibility that the owner will buy out the land, and then there'll be cash given back to the Lovel. All right, so that's basically what we come to now is our case, which is that we started out with a case. We have a donkey that was hired out to go down the road, dies halfway down. And when it dies halfway down, the Gemara says, too bad, he just has taromet, he just has complaints over here. So, right, the Gemara wants to know, why does he just have complaints over here? Right, if, again, there are donkeys available to rent at the place that he is, right, then let him go ahead and rent out the new donkey. I should say, in the first case where it's the same cost, he really doesn't have to go back to the original donkey driver because he only has to pay him for half the way. And then he could just at the same price hire it out from someone else. So he really doesn't need the other guy. The question here is when he has more expensive, right? When it's more expensive now, he really could have continued. He now has to expend more money than he thought. So again, we say that the original owner, the donkey owner, has to pay for that additional monies because he guaranteed or gave him a donkey to rent for a long duration. And now he should have to pay him the monies. He should be able to deduct it from the first half of the trip in order to get him to, right, the second half of the trip, and he should get the money from that. So the Gemara says,
Okay, so that can't be the case.
That Rabbi Bar Huna was discussing, because in the first instance, he doesn't even have a complaint. He's getting the same service for the same price. And in the second instance, he has a monetary claim against him. It's not just a complaint, he has a full monetary claim. Ella.
But no, it must be in a case where, again, it's no shiach da gure, but he says, listen, I know you have to pay more to get the other half, but you would have had to hire someone else to get you until this point in time. If you had to hire someone to, what I did for you is worth something, and why should you deduct anything from my schirut? I mean, if you had to hire somebody now, it would be at the more expensive rate anyway. And so, why, you didn't lose. I mean, you might have done better if you got in the whole way with me, but you didn't lose anything by going with me, because you at least got the first half at the cheaper price. So why should I have to?
That's a weak tanya. I would have taken someone for the whole,
deduction. Right. So that's the tanya, right? The tanya is that he has a longer wait. I could have taken someone the whole way, right?
At the cheaper price.
So Gemara says, et chamor stam, which is what Yossi is suggesting over here. Et chamor, if it was a chamor stam that he rented, he has to provide him a new chamor. It doesn't matter what he thinks, whether I got you halfway. He has to provide a chamor. If he doesn't provide a chamor, he's got to compensate to get him the rest of the way. So it must be a case of chamor zeh. So that's what the Gemara's conclusion here is. We're talking about, it's a case of chamor zeh. That he said, I'm hiring you this donkey, this particular donkey, no matter what happens to this donkey, that's your donkey. Donkey dies halfway. So now he has no obligation to replace it because he said, chamor zeh. But now we have a donkey who has residual value because it died. And we say chamor zeh, this doesn't literally mean just this donkey. It means, right, any value that will come out of this donkey. So now I can sell this donkey and provide a new donkey. If that's the case, nothing to talk about. That's what you do. You sell out the carcass, buy a new donkey. If not, then the question is, if you sell out the donkey, can you use the cash to rent the new, right, the new donkey? So, Rav Shmuel says, yes, ain't no chanami. You take the money, rent out a donkey, and finish up your trip. Rav says, no, you may not do that because you can't be Talia Karno. You can't use up the principal. So if that's the case, that's exactly what the statement of Rabbi Rav Huna Marav is. That Socher to Chamor le Kovela. Here he rented out a Chamor, said Chamor Ze, to write on it. Umeita, hello, b'chatzi aderech, dies halfway. Notein los charo shel chatzi aderech. He has to pay for the first half, because he said chamor zeh, that's what he has to pay for. When it comes to the second half of the journey, he can't take the monies to rent it out, so he just has complaints against the guy. That's it. That's it. The relationship's over. He only has complaints against him, because he gave him a weak donkey, he didn't give him a good donkey. That's it. Then the Gemara goes into Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel's Machlokas revolves around Kal Yakarna or not, whether you're allowed to rent with the residual value of this donkey you let to rent out. Can you use up the principal? Rav says no, Shmuel says yes. Then we question Rab's position from this brisa about a ilan, about a tree. Buy a tree, right, where he rents it out, he gets it as a mashkon for the peirot, right, he purchases the output of this tree, or he took it as a mashkon to eat the peirot of this tree. So then all of a sudden the tree dies, or is cut down, or dries out. Now what do we have? We have a problem now, because neither party can use it. If the, right, one party, meaning the eater of the fruits, right, uses the keren, he takes the wood and sells it out, then he's going to use up all the, right, he's going to use up all the monies, right? So shnehem asurin, right? They're both asur to use it. That's what the brisa says. Neither party can use the wood over here, because the person who purchased the fruit or was get the mashkon to use the fruits, he can't touch it, because then he's going to mechale karna, he's going to use up the principal. The original party who gave him it as a mashkon, meaning here the debtor or the person who sold him the rights here, can't use the wood. Why? Because that wood is now mishubad to the person who has the mashkon, who has purchased it to him. So what does the brisa suggest? Purchase the property, go buy land with it, and with that land, they'll continue their relationship. He'll get the payroll off the land, and the land will revert back to the original owner. Mar says, why does that help you? In the end, that solves the brisa's problem. So the brisa is no longer a question, but it doesn't solve the problem for Rav. Rav says you can't do something b'chal yikarno. And we know that when you buy land, what happens to land? That the ovel, it returns to the original owner. So it's b'chal yikarno. So Gemara says, it must be in a time when there is no yovel. Since there is no yovel, then we're not talking about chal yikarno, and that will solve the problem for Rav. Gemara first says, hachanam yistaber, that makes a lot of sense, because otherwise, Bryson, instead of suggesting to buy land with it, just let the malveh, use the money, use the wood up and use it up. If you believe you can be Kali Karno, why purchase property? Let him use it up right up front. Somebody says, no, there's still a difference. Even if you believe Kali Karno, you could still benefit the Lovet, the debtor, or the seller of this right of the eating the fruits, because if you purchase property, there's a chance he might get something back. Because even if it goes to the Ovel, maybe there'll be fruits left over, or maybe there'll be a couple of years, he'll finish up the Mashkon before the debt, he'll pay the debt back early. The time that he gave him will get up, or the original owner of the land will come buy it back from him early, and then there'll be money. He'll get some cash out of it. So we say, even though we allow you to be Kali Karna, we say, do it in a way that benefits at least the chance that the original the owner gets something back here, that he'll get some benefit or value out of it. But in the case where you say to him, take the wood right away, then there's for sure no value that's going to be left for him. So spina, someone who rents out a boat, right, the boat sinks halfway. So now, the problem is that there's actually there are two things going on here, which is that there's a boat, the boat owner, who hired out the boat, but the person who's bringing the materials on the boat is carrying wine for this person. There's wine that he needs to deliver to the port that he's taking, delivering this merchandise to this port. So now what happened? Because if he gave the money already, lo yutol, right, he shouldn't take it back. I mean, if he paid for the boat already, can't take it back. If he hasn't paid yet, lo yutain, don't pay. So basically what we say is that the money stays with the chazaka. Wherever it is right now, the money stays. So Mar says, hey chidami, what's the case here? Ilema. Right, so right. What's the case? Right, hey chidami. Ilema besvina zu v'yayin stam. If we say the case here is that he says, I'm renting you this boat, right? And he says, you deliver wine to this location, then imnatan amay lo yitol, right? If he gave it, why shouldn't he take it back, right? Because now, who can't fulfill their obligations over there, right? There are two parties who now have to fulfill obligations. One is that I have to provide you a boat, Sfina Zu, to get to your destination. The other party says, I'm going to deliver wine to that location. He says, listen, I can fulfill my obligation, which is I can get the wine to that location, because I didn't guarantee you this wine in particular would get to that location. I just said I will deliver wine to that location. So now you who said, Sfina Zu, that you're going to provide me this boat to get to that location, you are the one who's failing, right, in this case, to provide the service that you guaranteed or that you offered. So if that's the case, then why, if he paid, he shouldn't be able to get a rebate or a refund over here? Sure, he'll get his money back, because he'll say to him, I'll get the wine there, you get me the boat. And since he can't get him the boat because the boat Sfina Zu is in the down at the bottom of the sea, then he doesn't obligate it to pay him for anything.
What the
wine that went down? No, that's the person who brought it. I mean, that's his. The one who's shipping it is lost the wine. The problem is that he can replace that wine. He can say, listen, I can purchase new wine and bring it to that location. You can't purchase a boat because you said Sfina Zu. So if that's the case, why should I pay you anything? I'm the one who really is at the upper hand here because I can fulfill my half of the deal. You can't fulfill your half. So, namely, havli svinata da'ana mantina chamra. You bring me a boat, I'll bring the wine. Elba svina stam v'yayin zeh. So the case must be what? He says, I'll provide you a boat, and he says, I'll get this wine to that location. Similo natan, my lo litain. In this case, when he hasn't given the monies yet, why shouldn't he have to pay? Because who's failing the situation over here? The Bala Sfina says, I can provide you a new boat, but you can't get me the wine, this particular wine, to that location, because you lost that particular wine. So who's the one failing over here? The one who's failing over here is the wine, the person who guaranteed to bring the wine there, because he can never fulfill his half of the obligation. Where it says, namely, avli hau chamra v'ana matina sfinata. Give me the wine that you're supposed to deliver, and I'll provide the boat. Where they're both failing their obligations. Neither one party can fulfill their obligations because he says this boat, he says this wine. And so since neither can fulfill their obligations, that's why we say, so since they both have an equal claim here, which is that if you provide the boat, I'll provide the wine, I provide the wine, you provide the boat. So we just say, let the money stay, wherever it is right now. So if you already paid the rent stays. If he didn't pay the rent yet, he doesn't pay for it. That's why, that's what the case is in our situation over here. And our papa, so when it comes to a stam, yayin, and stam spina, then they are chulek. Then they divide up, they split the value over here. The way Rashi is learning at the chuluka is that the first half of the trip, they split, right, the mounts. It means that he has to pay for half the trip, he doesn't pay for the other half of the trip. So whereas Tosu says over here, when it comes to the Rivan Perush, that kevin shu mukzak muzman kayem to know nechle shlo yachzir klau umshane beyin ze besfina zu de manda tofis lo mafkin mine de mukzak yomar la khaveru kevin shen khayo kol kem tanakha maz khakaram your mazal caused this a mosim khaveru la varaya aval sfina stam beyin stam khokim they split it bahav sfekale he has a sfek about this the rivam im khokim skar khatsi derach shalach. When they say chokim, does that mean the first half that they went together, he owes them the money for to pay for the trip, that's what they split, and he only pays a quarter of the trip? Right? Dafka v'notein revit. Oh, chokim kolas chirut. Or does it mean 50% means they take the whole value of the trip, he gives 50% to this guy, and he keeps 50%. Why? Because he did his 50%, and then the other 50% he didn't do. So he pays him for the half the trip that he did. Retain schar derech, given share, var halach. He takes pays him for the amount that he went. And he's still ready to do what he was supposed to do. That's what the Rivam says over here. This chokim, it's not clear to him what this chokim means. Right? Does chokim mean they're cholek, the schar of the half that he did provide to him? Or cholekim means that they split the entire schar of the whole trip because he provided him half his service, he didn't provide him the other service. So the service he provided, he's got to pay for. The service he didn't provide, he doesn't have to pay for. Someone rents out a boat and then unloads it halfway through the way. Again, he hired a boat to take his merchandise to a certain location. Halfway, he comes to a port. He says, I'm taking all my stuff off. I'm done. I'm taking off all my stuff here. I'm unloading. I'm happy. Thanks for the ride, but I'm done here. So the Gemara says, what's going on here? Right, if the boat, the sailor here can rent out the boat for more merchandise and take on new deliveries, then I might lay taromet. What complaint does he have? He didn't rent to this guy, he rents to the next guy. If he can't find new renters, meaning new people to hire him to use his boat, then he's got to pay for the whole derech because he hired him for the whole derech and now he stranded him halfway without any income on the rest of the way. Mara says, lo lam de kamishkach lagura. It's a case where you can find someone to replace it. Ella, amayit le taromet. So then why does he have any complaints against this guy? So this is, I think Yossi, you were suggesting this before, Mishum rafsata de sfinata, right? Because of the wear and tear on the boat, right? From unloading and loading the boat. I mean that, it wasn't you. Right, it was David. I don't know who suggested that before by the Chamor, that why don't you just say that he has a tircha to reload? He has to take it off and then reload it. It was you, David? All right, so you suggested before.
Something else. He says going into the port, you're going out of the port.
Right, he has to slap it on and off. I mean, it's more extensive over here, but similar to the idea that you were suggesting before, that this will cause weakness to the boat. I mean, this is something that has impact on the boat. So here, if he was able to take him the whole way, he wouldn't have that wear and tear, that depreciation on his boat. But now, where he has to switch people on the boat, then he's going to say, listen, you're causing me some detriment to the boat. Now, we say that's where it says, what do you mean? That's a physical damage, that's tangible damage to the boat, which is depreciation to the boat. Charge him for it, it's hezek. If it's hezek, then he should pay for it. So, umamona islegabe, he has a monetary claim against him for causing that depreciation in the boat. Elamai parka, the parka the toane bigave. That he unloaded it bigave on the inside. Now, that's a question, a simple machlokas over here, how to explain a three-mayu machlokas, how to explain what this means. Right, we'll start with Rashi's pshat to go through the Gemara, and then we'll come back to other pshat, the Rach and the Rivan, who have other pshatim here. So according to Rashi, it's a parkei the two neighbor gavei, right? That he over here is halfway along the derech, he adds on more weight to the boat. He takes on more weight, and the way he pays him for the distance plus the weight. Right, so now he loads on more weight at this. Halfway through, he puts on more weight onto the boat. So, Elamai Taromet. Why does he have any complaints now? If he's going to load on new weight onto the boat, and he compensates him for the additional weight, what type of complaint is this? He's better off. Why not bring it on more weight? It's better for him. So, Mishum Shuni Data, because either Mishuni Dat, Inamela Ashlo Yitera. Right? The problem is over here, that when he goes halfway down the road, and he adds on new additional weight to the boat, now he has to actually deal with the additional weight. When he deals with the additional weight, what does he have to do with that? He says, number one is, I thought I was going to go very fast. I was going to get to our destination very quickly and be able to return. So I planned a new trip, or someone hired me in 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be back there. Now I'm not going to make it back because we have to go slower because the sailing is going to go slower with the heavier weight. Meaning that he has a taromet in the sense that his complaint is, I didn't know about this additional weight. Yes, you're compensating me for this additional weight, but this additional weight has other impact, which is that now I didn't anticipate being gone for so long. Number two, or the other possibility, is that ashla ropes. Because when they used to take the boats down the channels or the rivers, they used to tie the ropes to the side of the river, right, and have donkeys pull the boats down, right? That was how they got towed, their tugboats. They had towed down the way. Now, depending on the weight of the boat, how deep in the river do you have to be? How far out in the river do you have to be? The heavier the boat is, the more to the center of the river you need to be, the longer the ropes you need to pull along the side of the bank.
So he says it.
No, he says, listen, had you told me this, I would have brought those ropes originally. Why? Because now I have to purchase new ropes here at this location. They're more expensive over here. So had I known this, I would have brought the ropes originally. Now, again, when he hired him, he has a right. When he called, he says, listen, I am hiring you to go to this place, and I will pay you per pound, no matter what pounds. And he doesn't have to tell him. There was no obligation to tell him what poundage, but he loads the boat, and now all of a sudden he's starting to load more stuff halfway through the trip. So he says, you're right that you have no obligation now, because you're paying for it, and that's what you contracted with me. But had you told me, you could have helped me out. So that's the complaint he has. If you told me up front, I could have made better plans. But since you didn't tell me up front, now I'm in a bad situation. Now, I do only have complaints because the agreement allows you to do this. But I have a complaint because you're costing me more money or you're costing me time. All right, that's the way Rashi learns the sugya over here. Now, Tosfos, if you look at Tosfos, the Parak HaLatonei B'Gavei, he quotes Rashi and he has a question. Then he brings the Rach. If he goes 2, 4, 5, 6 lines down in the Tosfos, Rach Perish. The Pirkei Letonei Shemucher Schorash V'Sfina Lacher Einu Shinudat. That he decides halfway through the trip, he sells everything on the boat to someone else. He doesn't do any change to the merchandise. All he does is he says, you know what? Halfway he gets to this port, some guy goes, I'll buy the whole thing off of you on the boat to take it to the new location. I buy it off of you. So what's the problem now? So that's Einu Shinudat. Shinudat is I know you and I have an agreement with you. And that agreement with you, I know how to deal with you, I know how you know what type of demeanor you have, how you're going to pay me, I'm fine, I'm comfortable with you. Now what you've just done over here is now you brought me on somebody who could be difficult to deal with, might not be so forthcoming. So now what you've done to me is now caused me a situation where I have shinudat. Shinudat does mean I'm dealing with a new party. And that's something that I didn't anticipate up front. Now true, you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to sell your merchandise, because all you hired the boat for was to get the merchandise there. And you haven't changed that. But what you have changed is the person who's going to be compensating me for this, or who owns the merchandise, or who's going to say, oh, you didn't take care of this, this guy went bad on your boat, that's your fault. You know, meaning that there's a new owner on board, and I'm not ready, I wasn't ready for that necessarily. Or inami lashrayu teira is that he needs new ropes to take out the first kelim, u'lachnis achronim. Meaning that now that you're disembarking over here, and the new owner is coming on board, I need ropes to unload you and to load him on. Meaning that I have to provide you guys like a crane, I don't know what they did, some sort of ropes to lower your possessions. Right, it's not an anticipated expense. Again, he doesn't have a complaint because basically the hiring was for the usage of the movement of the merchandise. So he says, I'm sorry, but that's the situation. That's the way the Rach explains the problem over here. The last explanation comes from the Rivam, which is not about 3-4 lines down in the Tosfos, right before the widest lines in the Tosfos. It says, Rivam Perish, the Olam Deshchiach Lugure, that the case here is where you could find a new replacement. Uleka Rafsa Desvina, it's a case where there's no weakening of the boat by unloading it. Dari de Parke Letunei Begavei, meaning that what? Klomar Hitir Chavilo Betocha Svina. Meaning that you can unload, when you unload merchandise from the boat, you can load it in the big containers and take it off. When you do that, that weakens the boat. Or what you could do is then open the containers on the boat, and then unload the containers piecemeal. When you unload the containers piecemeal, then there's no weakness, depreciation, or hurting of the boat, because you're taking it off slowly. When you take it off slowly, you don't have that weakness of the boat. So that's what it means, parquet tuned le gave. Inside the boat, they unload it. Meaning that they undo the containers inside the boat. So when they unload it and load it, it doesn't have the damage to the boat. And so because of that, he has a taromet of shinudat. He says, same thing that the Rach says, which now we have a new owner on board. And Ashley Yatera is that maybe this guy will need me to do more work or load up and make it harder. So there again, it's taromet. So again, those are the three explanations of our Gemara here, why, again, he's not obligated from a monetary side to pay him because it's within the confines of the agreement. But nevertheless, he has taromet, he has complaints because he's changing something that makes it more difficult or different for the boat or the captain of the boat to deal with. Alright, Tana Banan. Sucher techomor lekovela. Person hires a donkey out to ride it. Sucher meniach alek suto. He has a right. When you hire to ride it, I can put on it my clothing. Lignuto and his drink, umizonot, and his food. Shaloto aderech for the trip. I mean, he's allowed to load the donkey with the materials to get to the destination. After that, the donkey driver can stop him and say, you're putting too much weight. Because you hired it to ride on it, not to put carrying, to make it into a masui. Chamar, the donkey driver, he's allowed to put on it feed for the donkey, plus his food, for that day only. After that point, the renter can say, no, you're only entitled to put it on for that day. Marzechi Dami. What's the case over here? Why does the maskir and the socher have different rules here? Either shchiach the mizban, right? If it's easy to find new materials, chamar nami leakev. If you can go every stop they go to, you can find food. I mean, that there's a hotel, there's food, it's easily to replace it. Then why can't the donkey driver also insist that the renter buy food wherever they go? Stop and eat wherever we go. Why are you allowed to take food for the whole derech? Why is there this imbalance here where the rider can take food for the whole derech and the chamar, the donkey driver, can only take for the day? If there's food available at every stop, let them both buy it at that stop. If there's no food when they go to the places where they stop, at the pit stops, socher nami lo le'akev. Then how can the socher stop the donkey driver and say, don't bring enough materials for the way? What is he going to do after a day? He can't eat. There's nothing to buy in this location, so why can he stop him? Amar Papa lo tzricha d'shchiach l'mitrach l'mizban me'avna le'avna. That there is, at every stop, at every pit stop, or every motel that they stop at, it's not easy to find food, but if you make a little effort, then you will be able to purchase food. So we say, chamar darche l'mitrach l'mizban. The donkey driver, that's part of his obligation when he gets to a location, is to go out and find food and to take care of himself. So that's part of his obligation. So chair, lav darke l'mitrach l'mizban. The person who's riding the donkey, he wants a ride. That's all he is. He's on the train. When he gets there, he expects to eat. He's not expecting to run around and look for food. He takes his food and he just sits in the hotel and eats. That's what he's hiring him for. So because of this imbalance in the expectations of each party, therefore, when we're in a situation where you can find food, but it's not easy to find food, we say to the donkey driver, bring for the day, and then resupply at the new location. Whereas to the person who's renting it out, we say, take your food for the whole derech, because we're not going to obligate you to go out and find new food. So, Tan Rabbanan, the last case here, socher techamar dekovalea, ish. Person hires a donkey for a man to ride on it, lo tikovalea, isha. Do not place a woman on it. Now again, why not place a woman on it? The Gemara does not explain over here neither the explanations. I thought the possibility was here is the way the man rides the donkey versus the woman rides the donkey, right? Man rides the donkey on top, he rides the actual donkey, whereas the woman rides side saddle. So if you ride side saddle, right, it might take more wear and tear on the donkey to ride side saddle. That was one possibility that I suggested, that the difference here of having ish versus isha, that if you hire for a man, don't put a woman on it. The other possibility, which seems to be a little bit from the Gemara over here, is that a woman might weigh more, may be heavier. And since she's heavier over here, right, then the weight is the difference. And therefore, if you hire for a man, then we don't expect you to put a woman on there who would be heavier than the man. So that's the case. The distribution. Similar to what I was saying before about side saddle versus riding, which is that the distribution of weight is different if you're not as skilled a rider, if you're not riding the donkey itself. So, whatever that difference is. Isha, but if you hire for a woman, rochev la'ish. Then to downgrade and put something lighter or easier on there, again, either because they're an experienced rider, because they weigh less, or because, right, again, they're riding on the actual donkey, then that's permitted. Isha ben gdola ben ktana. He hires it out for a woman. He doesn't have to, when he says woman, it doesn't mean big or small, meaning that he's not defining. He can bring on whatever size woman he wants onto the donkey because he said woman. That's not a problem. Afilu mi'uberet. Ah, what do you mean? Any size woman? That means even she's pregnant. Va'afilu mi'nika, or even she's nursing. Since she's pregnant and nursing, she's entitled to bring onto this donkey the ubar, of course, but the mi'nika mekez, he can bring on the little baby that she is nursing. Mar says, hashta mi'nika ma'art mu'beret mi'baye. Right, says, what's the question here? If a nursing mother can bring the baby on, then certainly she can bring on a fetus that's inside of her. If she can bring on an entity that's already separate from her, then of course she can bring on the fetus. So Mar says, Amara Papa Muberet Vihiminika Kamar. She's pregnant and she's nursing. Right, which is right. Not the Gemara dissuades that. Right, it's not supposed to. You're not supposed to do it. It's not technically impossible, but the Gemara dissuades you because it reduces the milk supply, and therefore it's dangerous for the baby. And there were a day where they didn't have any supplements, and if you reduce the supply to the baby by getting pregnant, then that was dangerous for the original baby. So there, the Gemara says that a person who is meneket should not, right, become meuberet. From this, you can conclude beinita karsa takla, that a fish, right, admits the weight is affected by the stomach. My min kamina, what's the difference? The mekach umemkar for sales. So the way Rashi explains it means that since the it seems from this brisa that a pregnant woman is heavier than a non-pregnant woman. So if you know that a pregnant woman is heavier than a non-pregnant woman, what does that teach you? That teaches you that the inside, or the carrying the weight inside, makes you heavier. So same thing, the Rashi says by a dog, by a fish, that if you're going to weigh the fish, then if it has a big stomach, it's going to weigh more. If it has a little stomach, it's going to weigh less. So if you want to get the best deal out of this, if you see a dog that has a big stomach, have them take the stomach out beforehand, and then weigh the fish. Because the stomach's going to cause extra weight to the fish. That's what Rashi says. That's not what you're going to eat, right? You don't eat the stomach, the innards of the fish. You ate the flesh of the fish. And therefore, that's the mekel chumemka. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara over here. Tosfos takes some issue with that. And he says that he doesn't understand. He has another girsa. Rabbeinu Tam actually changed the girsa here because he didn't understand the Gemara. He says, why don't you read the Brisa as just, okay, a muberet and a menika. Not only can you have a muberet, but you can also have a menika. Why can't the Gemara answer that? Lo zu av zu, like they do in every other place. So therefore, he has a new girsa. Says, akach niralo ki girsa shematza hashta miuberet amart in menika mibaye. The Gemara's question is not, why do you need muberet? But if you say muberet, why do I have to have menika? Muberet, if I know that a muberet's on there, then why do I need to menika mibaye? Dim isha muberet kveda yoter mi menika et bina. That a pregnant woman is heavier than a nursing mother. Right? Why? This is what Shaul, what you mentioned before. So when the baby, she's carrying the baby helps with distribution of the weight. It's dead weight inside of her. Plus, I would say that you have the additional, which is true, that a pregnant woman doesn't just have the weight of the ubar. She has the whole, the fluid of the uterine fluid and the expansion of the body, that there's a tremendous amount of weight here. So v'hashtat to Shapir. Then he says, this makes sense. The kamar shvamina benita gav kirsei takla. Says that makes sense about the fish story now. Why? Because shimayach chutzelo lo yach ibed kolkach. If you take out the stomach, the fish will weigh less. It's exactly what they're teaching you here. A pregnant woman weighs more than empty woman, or even a woman carrying the baby. So what do you say? Take the stomach out and weigh it separately. Because when it's inside the fish, it has more weight when it's combined with the fish and the stomach. If you take the stomach out, it'll weigh less. Not only the fish itself, but even the stomach. The two pieces will weigh less. And that's the mekel chumemkar over here. That's why Tosfos explains it. Tosfos in the end does not like the question of the Reino Tam, and he suggests over here that in the end the question here is, even according to one who says that a ubar is not yerachimo, it's not an extension of the mother, but over here lishon bnei adam b'masa matan chashuvim hem guf echad, they're classified as one body. So that's what the chiddush of the price over here. The chiddush of the price, according to the last Shita and Tosfos, is not like Rashi, not like the Rabbeinu Tam, but rather that the question of whether a ubar is considered an extension of his mother, that halachically there's a machlokus, whether an ubar is like his mother or is not an extension of his mother. But he says when it comes to lashon bnei adam, when it comes to the way people interact with each other, the ubar is classified as the mother. And therefore, if you hire it out for the mother is allowed to ride on the donkey with the ubar, because that is the mother. Even though halachically it may be a separate entity, but for lashon bnei adam, it's considered to be a single entity. And that's the chiddush over here, that when a person says, right, I'm going to sell you something, it means, or I'm going to do something, we include everything that's included in that item. So by fish, it means includes the stomach, right? And if a woman, that includes anything that's inside the woman, including an ubar, including a fetus. Okay, we'll stop over here.